This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Hey, well, good evening, Australia. And good evening, my love.
Good evening, my love. Oh, it's a balmy night in Melbourne.
Oh,
tonight,
my God,
it?
It's 300 degrees.
It's like underwater world. It's like a million percent humidity.
I couldn't believe it. I went swimming this afternoon, my love.
Yes, you did.
And it was hot in the water.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Unbelievable.
It's my worstest weather.
Now, my love.
Yes.
What's Chatterbox about? What do we do?
If you haven't tuned in before, we are a talk show. We bring in a member of the community every week, and they just choose four songs that best tell their story. They have a bit of a yarn with us, and we usually have a bit of a giggle. Now, also, we need to do a little bit of a shout-out to our 200th like on Facebook this week.
Yes. Who was it, my love?
It was Adrian.
It was the lovely Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. And we've sat on 199 for about the last 6 weeks, and it's been shitting me up the wall. So we've just zoomed ahead, and we're on 206. But I think you got that ball in motion.
I'd like to say, should we dedicate our first track tonight?
Why not?
For Adrian. Now, I finally updated my phone. On the weekend.
Yeah, I think it was when I sent you an emoji and you were like, what's this question mark? And it was like, when was the last time you did a software update?
Yeah. I'm still on gaslighting on my phone.
You're still playing Pong on yours.
So then, because we did the update, you showed me a new thing that iTunes does.
Yes.
That you can click on. It's a little bit like Spotify, but sort of better because we use iTunes. So you don't have to go through that. And I rediscovered, well, we both rediscovered that fabulous 1990 album by Black Box called Wonderland.
Yes.
And we want to dedicate the first song tonight to the lovely Adrian, who liked us on 200 likes. I don't know anybody else, Adrian.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. Celia doesn't want to play Backblock.
Black
Box tonight.
Black Box ain't going nowhere. I'm a little bit annoyed at, and it was poor Martha Wash as well, my love.
It was indeed. We were talking about this actually in the car on the way in. Martha Wash did all of the vocals on Black Box, all of the vocals on C&C Music Factory, and she got no credit because they brought in a big, tall, skinny black girl to do Black Box, and they brought in a slightly shorter, skinny black girl to do C&C Music Factory.
Yes.
Never sang a note.
Right. Well, this is going to be a great show tonight if they can't play the damn music. But how about instead of listening to us rabble on, let's introduce our lovely guest.
Well,
for the
you would have heard him usually between 6:30 and 9 on a Thursday morning as part of the tag team. It is the lovely Hunter Smith. Welcome to Chatterbox, Hunter.
Yay.
Do the sound effects work, Brett, this week?
I'm so sorry, but given the music problems, I didn't even want to attach the ID. Hunter, welcome to Chatterbox.
When I came in, I didn't know that you guys were a couple, but the relation tension in the room since I've been here has made that abundantly clear.
Do you know
I like how you started calling each other my love. I could get in on that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, please.
But now, just... daggers.
Oh, no, can I say, you think the conversation in the car on the way home is going to be horrendous. Now, Hunter, you're one of the three hosts of the tag team on a Thursday morning.
I am.
If the Chatterbox listeners haven't heard your show before, mm-hmm. what can they expect?
Oh, a lot of substance.
I do love your show, though, because it makes me light. I always listen to it in the car on the way to work, and I howl loud.
Oh, excellent. That's
funny.
The aim. Yeah, we just try and be funny, and we just dick about, really.
But you've got the gorgeous Harry on there as well, don't you? My fellow Welsh girl.
We do. The other Welsh icon. She does a bit of Welsh. She does a Welsh update occasionally. Have you heard that?
Yeah, Nan features a lot in it.
Oh, yeah. Nan talk. We do a lot of Nan talk.
Now, have you guys made her say the town in Wales yet?
I don't know, actually.
Well, because I'm going to put my partner on the spot there, because I always ask him at parties to do it. It's easier. It's the longest town in the world.
Right. When you're in Wales, how is that abbreviated in Wales? Because that's what no one ever talks about.
Llanfair PG.
Say it again.
Llanfair PG.
And do you know how many people live there?
Oh, none.
No, it's small.
Because
they've
all left because they're sick of people asking them to say it.
When I was in primary school, we did a musical about the Commonwealth Games, and everyone in the class had to dress up as one of those letters for that.
Oh, really?
Can you please not say that it was the Commonwealth Games in 2006, Hunter?
Oh, I wasn't in primary school in 2006, was I? No. I was in high school. No, I suspect it might have been 1996.
Well, it's funny because sometimes Harry will talk about where she's from and she'll say, I'm from Llanelli.
Llanelli.
No, it's actually Llanelli. It's just Llanelli.
Well, she's getting it wrong.
No, she's getting it right. It's just Welsh people have got a tendency to.
Oh, it's so contracted.
Everything.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant. I mean, this isn't nice.
It
to
isn't
say,
a pleasant
it's not
language.
A pleasant language. It's very. I don't know what the word is for guttural, but in your mouth.
And phlegmy. It sounds
And not nice for radio saying.
No,
very slow.
Like, can you imagine the microphones? They'll just be like sponges.
Yes.
Sounds like adult braces.
Yes, that's right. It is the adult brace of the United Kingdom, Wales. Particularly Swansea. Was she from Swansea?
Just outside.
Is that a bit common? Did you say Swansea was common? Or is that
No, Swansea's lovely.
No, Newport.
Yeah,
you said Newport's a bit
shocking.
Rough.
Now, who else? You've got Sean on the show
as well.
Yeah,
we've got Sean.
Now, you've known each other for quite a while.
Yeah, Sean and I used to live together at university about 10 years ago. That dates us. There you go. And we knew one another, but we weren't particularly friendly. You're just fanning yourself off, baby.
I am. Sorry.
It's a hot night.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's quite warm in the Joy Studios.
We were friendly, but we weren't really good mates. And then we sort of made friends a few years later. So that's an unusual situation, really, when you've been friends with someone before. But he was, and he'll love me for telling you, quite the straight Lothario back then.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot in common, really. Apart from banging babes.
I find that quite funny because after hearing Sean, you'd never know.
I really don't think you would know.
No, goodness. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox Tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest Hunter, only on Joy 94.9.
Download the Joy 94.9 smartphone app today. See joy.org.au.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest Hunter on Joy 94.9.
Now, my love,
yes.
If someone's got a message... Oh,
you said you
Hunter,
wanted to get
you're making me blush.
You ask nicely and then you crowbar your way into a relationship.
Wow, fiddle-dee-dee.
Oh, I don't think you need to crowbar. I think someone forgot to lock up.
Now, Hunter, obviously a part of Chatterboxes, you get to choose four songs, and you've chosen four lovely songs for this evening.
I did. I agonised
slightly
over
eclectic.
Very eclectic,
yes,
yeah.
But that's interesting.
Mm, hopefully.
The first one was around growing up.
Yeah, like
life.
My childhood song.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about growing up. Where did you grow up? A little bit about family.
I grew up in Melbourne.
Yep.
In the outer burbs.
Whereabouts? So, which outer burb?
Berwick.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
Well, not well, but no of it.
Fountain Gate land.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I spent a good 10 years working down at Colorado Fountain Gate. Remember Colorado?
Yeah.
Gone to God now.
Yeah.
I could sell yellow hiking boots and overpriced flannel like nobody else, though. So I grew up down there. It was pretty good, really. Pretty dull.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I went to school in Pakenham.
Were you in a big Berwick mansion? Because it was known at the time.
No, hang on. I lived in Old Berwick with an E. Oldie Berwick.
Yeah. Oldie worldie
much more,
shoppy Berwick.
Berwick.
Yeah.
Berwick.
Yeah. Not a McMansion. Although the house has since been knocked down and they put a McMansion on it. So that's sad.
Oh.
That's sad. Symbolic, really. So I grew up out there and that was fine.
Family? Yeah. Big family? Small family?
I've got one sister and a mum and a dad. And the song, how do I do this? Do I say the song now?
We can tease it, please.
All right. A little bit of foreplay is always nice before a song.
My family were quite normal, but perhaps not really normal for an outer suburban family.
So what were you like as a kid growing up?
Obnoxious. terrible.
In what way?
Oh, like believe it or not, boys, I was quite a show-off.
You do have a lot of self-confidence, which I like in a man.
Yeah, but not in a child. No one likes to be a child.
No.
Do they?
No.
They don't. I like, you know, I was doing the, that's right. I was doing the sort of, you know, the drama, and I like to always, I have a lot of memories of being told to go and play with the children because I was always hanging around the adults. Yeah. You know, I wanted to know the goss and you know, what was going on in politics and sport. So pretty revolting in a lot of ways, but, you know, and good, too good.
Yeah, too good.
Like I was a real nerd. Not really academic nerd, but I wanted to be like the good kid that got like the prefecty awards or whatever they were. You know what I mean? All that stuff now that makes me feel, I really changed. I got to a certain age and I was like, that's all crap.
I'm going to rebel.
Yeah, that's right.
Become a bad boy.
Yeah. Now I think it's all sort of horrible, you know, authoritarian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that, it's just something to aspire to. But it's so funny because school's just only one moment of your life, but it feels like an absolute prison sentence at the time.
Oh yeah, and I can still sit there and like reminisce and think about people from high school. Like it takes up a greater amount of your emotional memory than it certainly did. Chronological time.
It's funny. I found Facebook because I lost contact with moving countries for a start. I lost contact with everybody I went to high school with, but then Facebook popped up, and all of a sudden, these people from high school started drifting back into my, and it was like, oh, I remember you. And then sometimes within about 2 weeks, it'd be like, oh, I remember you. You were dreadful then and you're dreadful now. Yeah,
still a racist. I get a lot of
still a racist.
Still a racist.
Do you know the funny thing is, though, I was amazed with nearly all of the girls I went to school with. They all look fantastic.
Do they?
Yeah, they all look great. And they've looked after themselves.
However,
the men have literally gone out to pasture, with the exception of two guys I went to school with.
You had a thorough look. Listen to him.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of two.
Every single one of them.
Every single one. But the two guys who didn't have become better looking.
Oh, really?
I know.
That's not nice.
And everyone's like, were they that hot in school? And they said, no. They've just gotten better.
But it's always ones that weren't particularly attractive in school.
Oh, not always. Sometimes, no, you know,
just
once a rotter, always a rotter.
Continually get worse. Yeah, but sometimes.
Continually.
Yeah. Until they die of hideousness. This isn't nice to say, but sometimes when I'm feeling down, I will literally go to Facebook to look up certain people and be like, oh, it's okay. Like, in comparison, everything's fine. I'll really do that.
See, what kills.
I've got a hit list.
What kills me sometimes, people I went to high school with have photos with their grandkids. I'm 50 in a couple of years, but they're not.
Oh, that's dead keen for a grandparent, though. They shouldn't be doing that.
They're like 15-year-old grandkids. It's not like baby grandchild. It's a big thing in Wales. Ask Harry.
Oh, right. It is possible.
Oh, no, there's a lot of, like, young parents. It's quite frightening.
Yeah. Although, you know, 50 is not that young as a parent.
No, it really is, but as a grandparent, when you've got a 15-year-old, it's like,
So that means that they were 35-ish when they became grandparents.
Two generations of floozies,
is that
basically.
Is that even possible?
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose you could. Well, maybe not floozies, maybe just early learners.
Yeah, that's early adopters.
Yeah.
Have you thought of Korean politics or the UN? You're being quite the ambassador.
I'm worried about the text messages we're going to get. I've been burnt before.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, now. First song. Now, first off, was it hard to choose the songs?
Very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard. I had a really busy Saturday night. It was just me at home. I lit a candle. I had a rum on the rocks. I don't really drink, so it was painful. And I agonized over it for a long time, and then eventually I thought, oh, F this. I just got to send it in.
So, yeah.
Here we are.
Here we go. So first track.
Yeah, this is my child.
We've never played Nick Cave in the Bad Seats. Hmm. So you're popping that cherry tonight. Right,
Particularly in the childhood segment.
I went for Nick Cave because Nick Cave was a god, and still is a god in my family home.
Yep.
I remember it was like, it was sort of in my house, like marijuana was a breakfast food. And Nick Cave was God. That's what I say. And I remember when I was maybe about 11 or 12. We went a religious house. I'll believe it or not. And when I was about 11 or 12, I went to a neighbor's house for dinner, and they said grace before dinner. And it blew
disarming?
My mind. Like, all jokes aside, I had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
I thought they'd all powered down, you know? Like, And so I came home to my dad, and he was smoking a joint on the back step. And I was like, Dad, I've just been over to, you know, Bozo's house. I said, and they like said grace beforehand. And I was like, what's up with that? And he was like, oh, that's because they believe in God. And I was like, oh, right. Why don't we believe in God? And then he like took a big drag. I was like, because we believe in Nick Cave, the Prince of Darkness. And I do. I do.
I so like the sound of your house more than the family grace.
It does sound a little bit more interesting. Well, here it is now. It's the messy seat.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's kind of grim.
Do you know what?
But it tells
third
a beautiful
time's
story.
A charm, Andrew. Yeah. I've heard. I've been told. Anyway, here it is, the messy seat. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight. With Brett and Andy.
It's got a weird start. Ignore the start.
Okay.
It's quite satanic.
It is quite satanic.
Backwards lyrics.
It is. Doesn't it take you back?
You're listening to Shadowbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Hunter, from the tag team.
Did you guys get the moral of the story?
No. What was the moral of story?
Well, he didn't do it.
Didn't do what?
Well, he was being fried in the electric chair.
Oh.
The mercy seat. Oh, well, thanks for listening, boys. But at the very end...
We were talking and entertaining you,
yeah, we were having
Hunter.
A great time.
Very high-maintenance guest. Sorry.
Oh, she's being difficult and it's only 9:22.
Picking out the yellow M&Ms.
Well, you'll pay closer attention to my next song.
So he didn't do it in the song.
He told a lie.
So what a light and frothy childhood that sort of evokes.
Christmas must have been a barrel of laughs.
No, as we play Johnny Cash at Christmas.
I don't mind Johnny Cash. No, goodness.
Another feel-good single.
Now, Hunter, this is the part of the show. We've talked about you growing up in ye olde Berwick.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where we like our guests to talk about their coming out story.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about yours.
First of all, has anybody ever said that they hadn't come out yet?
One, when we got on air. And it was literally like, oh, just so you know, I'm not technically out. And it was like, oh,
you're in the
okay.
wrong spot, mate.
It's going to change the dynamics of the show slightly. Yeah. But then the first segment of the show, he said, oh, when I went to Mardi Gras with my boyfriend... Oh. We were sort of...
So you misunderstood the question.
We just sailed through that
yeah,
one.
Good.
Just,
we think you're a little bit outer than you think.
Yeah, that's right.
I think there's been a few heterosexual people that we've had on the show who've been a bit like, well, I want to contribute to the coming out. It's like, no, let's just talk about you for a bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
were your parents upset when you came out as straight?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Redhead.
Yeah. So tell us about yours.
Well, I'd love to tell you that it was... I would, in all honesty, I'd love to tell you it was really traumatic and I overcame it. But unfortunately, it was as boring as old time.
So what do you mean boring?
Well, I came out quite young. I think I was 15.
Wow, that is young.
Yeah. Mm. And I came out, I had already told my friends at school and my sister is about 3 years younger than me. And I think what happened was that she was about to come to school. Like she was about to come to high school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I kind of had seen the writing on the wall and I thought, I'm either going to tell them now or someone's just going to tell my sister when she comes to school. And I could see that being awkward. So I told my mum and there was like tears, but not like, you know, fine, just fine tears.
Yeah.
Just emotional tears.
A light mist.
Yeah. And then everybody was okay with it. It was really good.
Yeah.
And so when you it's came a blessing, really. I joke that I'd love a traumatic story and I would, but it was a blessing.
But when you came out to your friends, was that pretty straightforward as well?
Yeah. I mean, it was no great shock. You know, that's the other thing. But everybody took it really well.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that. I didn't have any... I mean, the worst thing I suffered was sort of, ignorant questions, which in hindsight, I totally forgive other 15-year-old Pakenham people before. You know, they didn't know a gay person either. So that's what I found the most tiresome about it. It's sort of the stupid questions. Yeah. But I was out of school, and it was at a casually Christian school, not a really strict joint, but they were good to me, and it was only a positive experience for me. Which does stress me out when, you know, you have other people in my life that have come out much later in their 20s, and I think, oh, what a shame. You know,
Shame. I came out and I came out when I was 16, so I don't know when people tell stories of, you know, I was in the closet and I got married and I had kids, blah, blah, and I was, and I can empathise with them, but I can't really
empathise with them.
True, because it's like I don't know another life where I wouldn't want to be honest with myself.
Yeah. Yeah, but of course I'm telling you I had this idyllic coming out.
Yeah,
and the reason I could do that early, I even remember thinking at the time that I was, you know, about 95% sure it was going to be fine.
Yeah,
that it was going to be an idyllic coming out.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember thinking that, like, this is a really big deal.
Yeah,
but there's such a high chance that this is going to be fine that it's going to that it will be fine. And I would have been very shocked if it gone badly. And obviously, people that come out much later probably have a much lower percentage on their risk assessment.
A lot of people say that there's sort of two stages to coming out. There's the coming out to yourself and sort of figuring out that, and then there's coming out to other people. What was coming out to you like, or did you go through that process or did you not?
I've actually thought about that recently, trying to work out when I remember being little and other boys thinking that I was gay because, you know, they can always tell first.
Yeah.
They got the best gaydar, really, don't they, 8-year-old boys?
But in all fairness, they also think everything is gay.
Yeah, true. Yeah, different sort of
so
gay.
If you keep on preaching the one thing, you're going to get it right sooner or later.
They're the opposite of mothers.
Yeah. So I remember being defensive at the idea of being gay and thinking, I'm not gay. But I don't remember being like, oh, yes, I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But it all came to me quite early.
Yeah.
Like the awareness and the sex, not having sex, but wanting to, you know, have sex. That all hit quite early, I think. And so I must have been pretty sure before I told my friends, and that was probably when I was 15 too.
Yeah.
So I reckon I probably had it locked down by 13 or so.
Yeah, no, look, we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago and they said exactly the same thing. They said they were very aware early on that they were gay.
Yeah.
It wasn't, because often people will say, oh, I knew I was different, but I wasn't sure what it was. And that was not the case for me. It was, I knew different, but I was reasonably sure it was gay, but it took me about 4 years to go, no, it is.
Yeah. And my parents, they had a gay couple, men that they knew. So that probably helped in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I was aware from really early on that my parents were, lefties, really.
Yeah.
So I knew, like, they were right in, like, I knew I could guess their position on sort of those sort of social justice issues. So I think that really helped me. Like, I knew that it was probably going to be okay.
Oh, absolutely.
At least, maybe not between us, but at least, you know, ideologically, it was going
to be fine. Yeah, yeah. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest Hunter, only on Joy 94.9.
Melbourne gets the best mix of music weekdays. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our lovely guest Hunter from the tag team on Joy 94.9.
My love.
Yes.
It's the halfway point.
It is indeed.
And nothing screwed up so far as opposed to the start of the show, so it's going well.
No, absolutely. We've just caught up.
Yes.
We're back on track.
Oh. But my love, just quickly, what's our show about?
Look, if you've just tuned in, obviously, again, you've probably just tuned out of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
No, you take that back. It's a very entertaining show.
It really is. Take my brain out for a couple of
Andy
hours.
Loves it.
It's
Andy
over now. It's over.
Loves it.
But we are a talk show where we bring in a member of the community and they get to choose four songs that best tell their story and they get to have a chat with us and tell us all about themselves and have a bit of a giggle.
Absolutely.
And tonight we've got the lovely Hunter from Tag Team.
Absolutely. Normally you hear him on Thursday morning breakfast show.
With Sean and Harry. Absolutely. That's right. Now, Hunter, before we went to the break, that long break, you were telling us about your coming out story and that it was reasonably smooth sailing. Hmm. Tell us about your second song and why you chose it.
I struggled to find a coming out song, to be honest, but I dated it to my life. And I reckon around that time, me and all my friends from high school, we were obsessed with the band Counting Crows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, all my songs tonight, the timeline's way out because I'm pretty sure Counting Crows, they weren't cool then. You know what I mean? Like, we were really late to it. But for some reason, it was driven by one of my friends, Megan, who's, you know, a nice girl, but not known for being right on the cutting edge. she had us all engrossed. So they would tour here. We saw them once and it was the best night of our lives. And I saw them. Then they cancelled another tour because his nan died, which was sad for him. But
honourable.
Oh, well, it really pissed me off at the time, but I was young. It was inappropriate. Inappropriate. Yeah, so here it is.
Mr. Jones by The Counting Crows. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Hunter, only on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Hunter, on Joy 94.9.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Counting Crows, my love. There's a little bit of melancholy in that song.
Yeah, there so it is.
It's very 90s melancholy.
They used to play it as the last song at the Berwick pub back in the day. We used to have, we couldn't afford drinks, so we would take like a bottle of, a bladder of goon, and we would hide it, not in the dumpster, but, you know, on the side of the dumpster.
Dumpster wine.
Yeah.
It was sounding delicious.
Dumpster goon. Because, you know, where like where the arms of the truck would go to pick up.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the thing we used to stuck it in there, we used to nip in and out, having a suck on the goon bag.
Goon. Oh, bless. Do you know that the...
You were the Kendall and Kylie Jenner of Pakenham, just right, glitz and glamour all the way.
That's a compliment, really.
You know, the bag is actually an Australian invention.
Is it?
Yes. Of course we invented it.
Didn't they use them as pool floaties in WA?
Oh, no, that's what most people do. Now, look, whilst we've been chatting, we've had a message pop through.
I know, it's dear friend of the show, Chris from Yarraville.
My love.
Yes.
What's the message?
Oh, well, he says, Mr. Jones, a classic track, Hunter. Love it. Thank God for my wife, Sophie, who's reminded me for the second week running that Joy is on and to tune in. What have you been doing? Chris
from
Yarraville.
They're very busy. They're very busy people.
Well, great show on this sweltering night. I know, it's sticky. Now, Hunter, you and Sean, you said you knew each other in university.
Yes.
But you also work together currently, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Whereabouts?
We both make the project on Channel 10.
And what do you do there?
So we both, we do the same job. We spend too much time together. We leave here angry with each other at 9 a.m. and then we drive in my car and then we sit for 10 hours every day about half a metre away from one another and we bicker back and forth. And that sums up the job, really.
So you're the Statler and Waldorf of the project.
Yeah, perhaps.
Fabulous. You don't know the reference,
too old
do
man
you?
From the Muppet Show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's very similar. Very similar. But with, you know, Grindr.
I always thought Waldorf was having it off with Statler anyway. Goodness, yes.
So what do you do on the project? Because that must be a super exciting place to work.
Oh, it's all right. So we are both called we're called the guest producers.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're temporary producers, but it means that we look after the celebrity guests.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I left Sean tonight looking after Chris Isaac.
Yeah.
Which is a
Can
musician.
I say, I'm a little bit jealous because I've had a huge crush on Chris Isaac for years. You saw him at that hotel in Sydney
years ago. Yeah, and he's quite big and handsome.
Yeah.
He's here all the time. He's very accessible. So we like write the scripts and we write all the questions.
Yes.
And we interview them and then on the night we look after them. So we go and shepherd them through. There's often a clan of like autograph hunters.
Yeah.
that are great people. So get up there. And then we like run them through the show and what's going to happen, and then yep. put them in a car and send them on their way.
So do you both work every, you both do every show, or do you alternate? Or
We both work every day, yeah. but we try and if there's one guest each night, then it'll go, you know, Sean Hunter. Yeah. But often there'll be two guests, and we also this is so boring. We're also responsible for all like the other stuff. So you guys mentioned I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So we yeah. have a lot of that content that we do. So yeah, we split it up as best we can without fighting.
You were telling us just before we got here, because we popped just up the road for a glass of white wine.
That speak for yourself, I had a diet.
Now that you did.
You're projecting, my love.
Well done, Sister Patril over there. But you said you also do stand-up.
I do, yeah.
How did you get into that?
Well, I used to think that I wanted... Well, I used to think that I could act. But I could not. And so after trying unsuccessfully that for years, you know, just terrible. Like I used to get auditions and then they want to cry, me to cry or something. And I think, oh, no, this isn't for me. but eventually I got a gig on an ABC sitcom, which was a funny show. And then I was like, oh, these are my people. Yeah. I can act with these people.
These are my peeps.
And then I looked around, I was like, oh, they're all comedians. So that's when it sort of clicked. So that was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. So I've been doing like the... Like I think this is my 5th comedy festival, I think.
Wow.
So I've been doing it pretty much every year since then. I used to do The Fringe too, but I've ditched it. It's too much to do.
What was the first one like, though? Because it's literally the one of the most fearful things. If somebody stood me on a stage and said, be funny and make people laugh, I just literally, I would go white and the colour would drain from off. What was that first one like?
It was utterly terrifying.
Yeah.
I used some of that gear before, actually, when we were talking about Colorado. That was my first routine as well. The bright lights of Colorado found gate. It was terrifying, but it went quite well.
Yeah.
I've heard people say before that everybody's first gig goes quite well.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you would never do a second one.
Yeah.
And it's like the second and third one that are terrible.
Yeah.
That's really true of me. The first one went quite well. Once I started going to shows, that's a whole new level of terror, obviously, because it goes for an hour. But also then you know what works and what doesn't, so you can sort of work on it. So I like that format a lot better, actually.
Yeah. It's a friend of ours who's a stand-up says, look, when it's bad, there's nothing worse. But when it's good, there's nothing better. Just that you get the buzz out of it that you can't be beaten. Legally.
Absolutely.
Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox Tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest Hunter, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Australia's best radio station.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest Hunter on Joy 94.9.
Now, we've had a quick message pop through, Hunter, asking, because you were just saying a moment ago that you work for the project. Damo of Ballarat has sent through a question saying, does Hunter handle any of the social media for the project?
I don't, Damo from the Rat.
Oh,
I'm afraid.
Damn.
All that credit, and I'm hoping you want to heap credit upon me rather than scorn, should go to a lovely woman called Beck, who is a guru of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a whiz.
She's a whiz.
Spends all her day whipping those up. She's a master of a gif. Master of a gif. A wizardress.
A wizardress.
Now, we were talking quickly just before we went to the ad break about you getting into stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You've got a show coming up this year at the Comedy Festival.
I do. Is it the 23rd of February today?
I think it could be.
Yes, well, that opens in 1 month. There you go.
Oh.
23rd of March to the 2nd of April I'm doing.
And what's the show called?
It's called My Winter of Discontent.
And... where are you playing?
Oh, right, a Shakespearean role. Yes.
As it turns out, I didn't know that. I thought I made it up. I really thought I did. Must have been lurking in there
you're
somewhere.
You're packing them roots, aren't you, dear?
Do you know what? This is a bit of a side story, but it combines everything we're talking about. I once performed a Shakespeare monologue.
Really?
At the Pakenham Showgrounds for Prince Edward, who's the Queen's son that you've not heard of.
Yes. Oh, no, we've heard
and
of
it. And it was from
we
a...
We know of her.
It's from a... Well, I'll get distracted. I can't tell. Yes. So I was from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I hadn't read the play, obviously.
Yeah.
And I performed it, and then he said, oh, that was very good. Have you read the play? And I said, yes, absolutely. I loved it. And he was like, what was your favourite scene? And then I had to be like... oh, I was lying. I've not read it.
You lied to the royalty.
Yeah. So that were my chances because everyone kept making these sort of, you know, ooh, gay insinuations about him. So I had sort of started to fantasize that he was going to whisk me away.
You could have been the Princess Di of your generation.
Yeah, usher me into the house like with your fur coat over me and... The Camilla. It could have been the Camilla.
Of course, he married a woman because he's actually heterosexual. But yeah, we'll move on from that.
He was definitely heterosexual. That's important to point out. And also, I was a 14-year-old. That probably wasn't floating his boat either. So,
no.
Irregardless.
No, that's probably... Hey,
irregardless. That's not a word. Sorry. No. I need to retract that. Just regardless. Don't judge me.
Next track, Hunter.
Oh, sorry.
One of Andy's and my favourite is Amy Winehart.
Oh, yeah. I'm mad for Wino.
Look.
I didn't really know what to choose for this song, so I tried to find a song that has stuck with me through a few years, because I tend to move on quite quickly. And I remember I lived in London for a while, and on the way to London, in the paper at the airport, I read an article about Amy Winehouse, and it was the first time I'd heard of her.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when I arrived in London, that was in 2007, I think, that was like peak. It was like peak Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw her live, which was great.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't great. She spewed.
Yeah, I was going to...
Yeah. But it was great. It's a great story.
It's a great story. Here it is now. Tears dry on their own. My love.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Hunter, on Joy 94.9.
Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we get snatched. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day, but I'm grown, and in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own. He walks away, the sun goes.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest tonight, Hunter from the Tag Team on Joy 94.9.
Now, my love,
yes.
This is your favourite time of the show.
Well, yes, one of.
It's called Out of the Box, Hunter, and this is where we ask you some embarrassing questions about your life.
Oh, good.
Question one, my love.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Without further ado, what's, apart from the monstrosity you've got on tonight...
Hey,
what's the worst
been wearing this all day.
Outfit you've ever
you look
worn?
Fine, Hunter.
Or when I was in year 8, I was upset. I didn't feel like I didn't have any cool clothes. And my mum was like, oh, why don't you wear this cool jacket from the 80s that your dad used to wear? And I was like, all right. So it was like a coloured denim, like red, had like an eagle on it.
Oh.
She paired it with this sort of, I don't know what they're called, like a cowboy would wear them. It's like a leather string around your neck with some metal things hanging in.
Oh.
Anyway, so I strutted my way down the court to the party and I was mocked so badly I had to spend the party just chatting to the mum. Well, sad, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No.
Because it was before phones, so I couldn't ring for, couldn't SOS out.
Your outfit's a disaster, come and pick me up.
That's more traumatic than your coming out story.
It is, yeah.
Oh, my God. My love.
A different sort of closet, too.
Oh. Oh, she's sharp. Question number two, my love.
Hunter, what's the embarrassing TV or movie that, you know, it gets no stars on any of the online websites, but you love it regardless?
Oh, look, I won't even agree that it's embarrassing, but I'm a mad fan for The Housewives.
Which ones? The Melbourne ones?
Well, I've done Melbourne was my gateway. And then I went straight from Melbourne to New York.
Yeah.
Gave that a good lag for about 6 series. Yeah. And then I got it too absurd. And so then I moved on to LA because I thought this is too absurd. I'm going to go to the Real Housewives of LA. So it was called Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And that's where I've left it.
Because that's so the one far. With Kelsey Grammer's wife in it, isn't it?
Yeah, Camille.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is someone else.
If you want to
check just one thing out, you've got to go. There's an episode where there's a guest star and it's Alison Dubois, who is the psychic that the show Medium was made about.
Right.
And it's the biggest PR disaster of all time for her to go on the show because she gets drunk, gets in a fight, and then starts saying to people, don't be so rude to me. If your children go missing, I'm not going to help you locate them.
Oh, my
Just
God.
Terrible.
Oh,
and the whole time,
my God.
She's so drunk, she's pouring out of one glass, and she's smoking an e-cigarette. it's too good.
Because I'm loving I'm a Celebrity at the moment.
Oh,
I'm loving the fact that Val and Anthony hate each other because they worked on Grease together.
Apparently they, yes, there were some issues on Grease.
They didn't care for one another.
No, even last night, because they've been nice to each other. And last night he said, oh, this is the nicest I've ever seen. She was a nightmare for the 6 months we were on Grease together. And it was like, oh, here we go.
Who did he play on Grease?
I think he played Teen Angel.
Oh, right.
Really? I thought he was playing Frenchie.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. Question number three, my love.
What is the most embarrassing song in your music collection?
Oh, well, that's hard to pick. But given that you just mentioned I Miss They Really Get Me Out of Here, I'm going to have to say that it is definitely DJ Havana Brown's seminal iconic classic, Big Banana. Big banana, hola, na-na-na. And then my favourite part, because it has a talk break like any good song.
Of course, of course.
So she goes, big banana, and then the music like rises and she goes, have you got a big banana? So good.
My goodness. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and a very special guest, Hunter, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Hunter, on Joy 94.9.
Hey, Hunter, this has been lovely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For coming in. And final track for tonight.
Yes.
It may confuse a few people, the very start of it.
Yes, that's a great point. Yeah. It shall do. This song, again, the category you gave me for this is what I'm listening to now.
Yes.
It is, can I say what, I think I'll say what it is.
Please.
It's Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17. Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17, that's right.
Yes.
And very embarrassing, I've started dating a very handsome fellow recently, and we were on an early...
Well done you!
Thank you. we were on an early date. And I was trying to impress. So I had already embarrassed myself with music once before because he tried to tell me that some song was, it was like a 90s, like Salt and Pepper or something. And I was like, no, it's not Salt and Pepper. And I was really smug because he got it wrong. And of course I was wrong. So I had to, Anyway, flash forward to the next date. This Stevie Nicks, the Edge of 17, is playing. And I am going to be all worldly and know about music. And I am sure for some reason that it's a Haim song. Do you guys know Haim?
No.
Right. Well, you know, great help. I thought it was a new song, Haim. So I'm like, oh, God, I love this song. I was thinking it's that new song by Haim, thinking he's not going to know.
Oh.
And he's like, it's not Haim. I'm like, oh, it is.
It so is.
It's like a really new song. Isn't it Stevie Nicks? I'm like, I don't know who that is. But since then, I popped it on the playlist, and it's a cracking tune.
Oh, it really
is a cracking tune.
It's a cracking tune.
Have you learned not to do it for the third time with this lovely new
bike? Yeah, now I know that he's the music master. And I mentioned at work today that I was playing this song tonight, and somebody said, oh, I love that song, just like a white winged dove. And I was like, oh, I thought it was one winged dove. Just flying around in a miserable circle. Anyway, here it is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, any final words tonight, lads?
No, I'm good.
Now, look,
you've been on the Chatterbox.
You've been delightful, Hunter. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Good night, Australia.
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.